All right, guys. Gospel of John. Chapter 12 is where we are. I'm going to ask you guys this question again. Why was Gospel of John written? I mean, we could go big and we could say, why is the Bible written? But according to the Gospel of John, why is the Gospel of John written? Lorenzo?
So you believe?
Yeah, so we might believe, right? Isn't that what he says? So, I think most of us, all of us sitting in here, we believe. But does anybody else ever pray that prayer? Lord, help my unbelief. Or, Lord, increase my faith. Because, I mean, what are the works of God? According to the Gospel of John, what is the work of God? That we believe in Him whom He has sent. Because if we believe in Him whom He has sent, we're going to love like He loved. We're going to do the things that He wants us to do to be pleasing in His sight. So this is written as to increase our faith. It's, you know, the Gospels, if you consider, they really are, they're designed to actually, for the Word of God to come forth to people who don't know anything about Jesus. It's really a foundational place to start with people of who Jesus is. And so when we're working with people, it's one of the things I'm going to encourage us all is, you know, you want to get people reading their Bible. And the sooner you get people reading the Bible, the sooner they're going to get to know about God and have the opportunity to know God. And the Gospels is a, you know, to introduce them to Jesus, a good place to start. And so you get somebody interested, you get them going, really encourage them to get in and start reading the Gospels. But for us, okay, we already believe, but isn't it good for us to keep the picture of who Jesus really is in front of us? And I don't know, I know I've mentioned this before, I don't know how you guys all are, but one of the things I sometimes enjoy reading the Bible is like really putting myself there. In this, like, you're there in the middle of this, and you're, what would my responses be? Where would I be at in this crowd? What would I be doing? What would I, you know, how would I be interacting? I think God wants us to consider those things. And so here we are in John chapter 12, and let's read just verses 20 through 26 tonight. Justin, if I can have you start verse 20, and we'll just go till 26.
There were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast.
These then came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus.
Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus.
Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come when the Son of Man should be glorified.
Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit.
He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal.
Say, did you want to get that?
Yep. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.
Okay. So just a kind of a quick reminder. We actually, last time in our study, we went through verse 23. But just a reminder here, there's these Greeks who are, they were going up to worship at the feast. What feast was this? Everybody should know this, guys. This is like, this is less than a week before Jesus' death, right? What feast is this? Passover. Good job. I'm hearing everybody whispering it. Yes, Passover is the correct answer. Okay? Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Jesus was crucified during Passover. Okay? And that was by design. God actually purposely set up the Passover in the Old Testament in preparation for this time of Christ's death. But there's Greeks among who were going up there to worship at the feast. Now, I don't think these are... The scripture's not absolutely definitive on this, but typically if they're proselytes or whatever, it's going to say that. Okay, I think these are Gentiles who are coming as far as they can without being a Jewish proselyte. They're interested in what's going on. And with this, they've probably just seen the whole triumphal entry of Jesus. And they've heard the sayings of the crowds, and they're getting the rumblings of this Messiah coming. They want in on this. And so they come to Philip and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Guys, that's in many ways, isn't that the greatest thing, that we want people to feel comfortable to come to us and tell us that? We wish to see Jesus. I remember Tyler, when he first time I sat down Bible study with Tyler and Marina, I asked Tyler what, you know, I think I was just kind of asking you guys what you wanted, what was important, and Tyler basically told me he had two goals that he wanted to do. One was to know God, and the second was to marry that beautiful lady sitting next to you, right? And both of those. But, you know, here these guys, the Gentiles, they're seeking, they want to know God, and they understand that really the way they're going to know Him is through Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And, guys, when you get people coming to you basically saying that, "Hey, can you tell me about, can you show me Jesus?" That's a great thing. It tells you something about Philip, that he's approachable in that way. Okay? They recognize him as being a disciple of Jesus. If people recognize us as being disciples of Jesus and they're interested, they're gonna let us know. They're gonna be open to that. So and then Philip and Andrew come and they tell Philip, I find it interesting, it's Andrew, they go together. They come and tell Jesus, and Jesus makes a statement, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." I'm not going to spend time on that tonight. Other than Jesus just recognized, hey, the Gentiles are seeking Him out. Okay. Now we're ready. He knows that next step, because was Jesus going to reach the Gentiles when He was in the flesh, guys? He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," right? I mean, you see him every once in a while, a little zinger here or there. You know, the Syrophoenician woman who he tries to put her off, and she, because of her great faith, he has these little forays into the Gentile world, probably to kind of whet their appetite a little bit. And set, but he knew that wasn't going to happen while he was in the flesh. It wasn't going to happen until he came in as the Spirit. So he says, "Hey, the hour's come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then I want you guys to tell me, from 23 through 26, what are some, or 24 through 26, what are, there's not a lot of verses here, but some very important verses we get to talk about. What are some things that jumped out at you guys in this before we break it down? I'll give you a second. Josh.
I think it's interesting that when they came to Jesus when Jesus heard that people wanted to see him, they immediately started talking about how he would die, which I always found interesting. It's like, why was that his response? Like, why that response? But it's like, in thinking about it, it's like they wanted to see him, like you just said. They wanted to understand God's Son. And immediately he starts talking about how the Son of Man is going to be glorified. But he's talking about Father saving him from this hour. You know, so he's immediately talking about his death.
Exactly.
He wishes to save his life, he'll lose it. So we are seeing the Son of God in that way. So they wanted to see him physically, like you said, get to know the Son of God. He starts talking about how grain of wheat, you know, he wishes to save his life to lose it. And that means he's going to die. Everybody wishes to follow him and come after
him. This, guys, this is Christianity at its core. This really, really is, you know, I like the way Josh said that these guys want to see Jesus. Guess what? They're going to see him. And there's earlier, she says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. And he tells us, in case you don't get what he's talking about the way in which he was going to die. They're going to get to see the character of God in his Son through Jesus' death here. That's huge. And Josh kind of hit the other part of it. There's another part of it here. This didn't stop at Jesus, did it? Anybody else have anything to add to that? Now we're going to work on this. This is what we're going to work on tonight. Okay, I guess you guys are going to let me go tonight. So, we will. Big picture. Because Jesus is, sometimes it's interesting to think about Jesus. Was he God? Was he a man? Yeah. Yes, right? Now, he did leave his place, the glory and the position of God. He humbled himself and came here as a man. But this is the character of God in the flesh, isn't it? But when he came as a man, guys, there's a lot of facets to why he came as a man. But one of the reasons he came as a man is to leave an example for us to follow in his steps. He actually, in Jesus coming as a man, he shows us what the human body looks like when it's in total subject, when the spirit that's inside that body is in subjection to the Father. He left an example for us to follow in his steps. 1 Peter is very clear on that. He goes on and he gets very particular about that. Committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. You take that and swallow it, you're going to be like Christ. And then he gives some particulars in case you don't, you know, deals with wives and husbands and people who are subject to their governments and servants who are submissive to their masters and right down the line. Hey, all of this is, you're going to be mistreated sometimes. But you know what? You entrust yourself to him who judges righteously. This is what the human body, when the spirit is in total subjection to the Father, this is what this looks like. Right? So Jesus left an example for us to follow. And, you know, one of the great questions is, I remember the old bracelets, WWJD. Anybody remember what that stood for? Mercedes?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do, right? Is that still around, kind of? Okay. But, and that's a good question to ask. But a better question probably to ask is, how was Jesus able to do that? Because there's been lots of times in my life where I'm up against, I know what's right. Okay. The question is not, what's the right thing to do? The question is, where do I get the strength to do this? And, you know, Jesus, of course, he was his faith. He didn't do anything unless it was something he saw the Father doing. He had a very strong purpose. A purpose that he knew was going to live, that was extended beyond today. Or tomorrow, or even his physical life on this earth. This is an important thing for me, so we'll work on that a little bit tonight. And then, of course, the strength from the Spirit in his inner man. The Caleb actually told me, Caleb Wilson, when he was at Pennsylvania Family Camp, my dad preached a message about Paul and Silas when they were thrown in the prison, right? And they were in what, anybody remember what they were doing while they were in there? They were praying and singing what? Singing hymns. And so the title of my dad's message was, "What Would You Be Singing?" And he talked about hymns and just started going through a bunch of words of some of the hymns. And man, some of those hymns, like, they're really, really good. People were, when most of those hymns were written, people were a lot more biblically literate in general than a lot of than most people today. So, but you know, some of those hymns do get to the point, you know, where he leads, I'll follow. He the great example is and pattern for me, right? That's, hey, this is what Christianity is. And so let's work on this a little bit. Big picture wise, yes, Jesus, he wanted to reach everybody in the world. God so loved the world. He's going to reach not only the Jews but the Gentiles, and he knew this could not happen apart from his death. In no way the Gentiles are ever going to come to God apart from the death of Jesus Christ. You read Ephesians chapter 2 and you see the Gentile world having no hope without God in this world. And it actually, he talks about Jesus as that Prince of Peace, bringing them first to God, and then through bring Jew and Gentile to God, he brought them together. That could not happen apart from his death. I want you guys to think for a second. Most of us, somebody was telling me recently, people from around the country, they hear you from Montana and they automatically think you're a farmer or something, you know. But realistically, in this day, the number of farmers and ranchers is a pretty small percentage, even in a place like Montana. And so not a lot of us have firsthand experience with the grain of wheat. In that day, Jesus starts talking about a grain of wheat and the way that works, and people are it's registering pretty hitting close to home because they all been doing that, right? We, Luke, how do you get your groceries?
From the store.
From the store, right? You go in there and you expect to be there, and sometimes if we're out of milk or something, I'll run over to the gas station. For some reason, this gas station is close to our house. They have problems sometimes being able to keep their milk certification or something. Drive over there, there's no milk. I mean, the only time you go to the gas station to buy milk is when you really needed it, right? I was like, come on, why isn't there any milk? I gotta drive to, might as well go to Albertsons or whatever, right? So, and it's always in the morning, early, right? So it's like, how can you not? Okay, but guys, this is not a third world problem, okay? We're used to, you know, but when you gotta go milk the cows in the morning, okay, and you're hoping you're free, like, you know, we're transitioning here. Think about tomorrow morning going out there, just starting to get used to, and you're hoping old Betsy, you know, is in a little better mood than some of your neighbors are, right? Okay. You know, basically you understand the principle, okay? This grain of wheat, okay? If the grain of wheat stays there as a grain of wheat, you got nothing. That grain of wheat has to fall into the earth and die. Well, guys, Jesus is that ultimate example. He showed us how this is done. But I think this is so true for every single one of us. At any level. But let me just ask you guys this. Love of the brethren. What Jesus said, greater love has no one than this. Than what? Then you lay down your life for your friends, right? The love defined is, well, the great picture is of Jesus on the cross. That's the great picture of love. We the principle is this. I don't care. Just take a very simple, take a husband-wife relationship. For a husband-wife relationship to be good, what has to happen? You have to lay down your life. And it goes both ways. Like, you have to die to yourself. That's a little bigger. Family. How's a family relationship going to be? How's the family going to work? Well, parents, initially it starts with, what are you going to do? You're going to have to die to yourself. I always found it interesting when Julie and I first got married. I thought, you know, a lot of selfishness goes away, but you can still be kind of selfish together. I remember some of those kind of fun times. And kids come along, and you, if you're going to be a good parent, like, that self's got to die, right? You kids, hopefully you guys learn this. Okay? You appreciate what your parents do, and you follow their example in this. Okay, but the only way, guys, that people are going to be drawn to us is if we die to ourselves. It's the principle. Have you ever thought about it this way? The scripture commands us to be, well, I'll give you the start of the verse here. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever thought about it this way? How can you be full of the Spirit if you're full of yourself? You know, there's a little bit of a play on words there because talking about people are full of themselves, right? But if, like, you can't be full of the Spirit if you're taking up that room in there. You can't ever help somebody else truly unless you die to yourself. One of my prayers, very consistent prayers, is that I will die to myself so Christ can live in me. Because Christ is not going to live in you if you don't die to your... And you know what the beautiful thing about this, guys? Jesus doesn't ask us to do something He hasn't done. And He starts this thing. And He realizes, He teaches us this. The only way that He was going to reach these Gentiles was to die. The only way we're going to reach people and truly help people make it to heaven is to die to ourselves. Somebody mentioned recently, I don't think they had the right source. I think it was whoever wrote The Art of War. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us, right? The problem is when we get in the way here. So,
you never really have a relationship in order people see that. You're looking for something.
Pardon me, Justin?
You don't die to yourself. People see that. Because they know that you're obviously willing to do things for them. I think people really see that. They understand that there's something there without that. Because you won't really have that relationship with
Yeah, that's very true. I think, you know, the way the world works is you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? You love those who love you. Jesus talks like, hey, that's no, you don't get any reward for that. I mean, the sinners do that. The Gentiles do that, right? People get pretty acclimated to this world and pretty skeptical. And we say something, there's always strings attached. Because that's the way the world works. It's amazing. Even family members, sometimes you're afraid. Family member offers something, you're like, no thank you. Because you know if you take that, they're gonna call that debt back at the moment they need something. That's the way the world works. And so, guys, that's the world we live in. People were... And so, Justin, what you're talking about, when people start figuring that out about us, that we're not like that, that you actually don't have a selfish agenda, that you're actually not doing something in order to, you're going to get something back out of the deal, people notice that, don't they? And it gives, it actually, it's through that process that it gives us opportunity to help people make it to heaven.
I just know in my own personal bit, like when I was first immersed, I need to be able to immerse somebody. But really what was behind that was I need to be able to immerse somebody because I know that that's what I need to do because that's what's going to help me get to heaven. So, my, it was all mixed up kind of in my head at first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got my one.
Yeah, exactly.
I got my five. You know,
one of those sharpshooters back in the, or one of those gunfighters back in the day, and you put your notches on your belt. Yeah, that's, that ain't gonna work, is it?
I don't know what I'm saying there, because if you're being loving so that you get an opportunity to say, you're getting something back out of it. You have to be loving because God is loving. And you love God. And His Spirit is in you. And you're loving because that's the way you are.
Yeah.
And then you're absolutely right. When you are that way, and you're not trying to get something for it, even if it's to try to help somebody, you're just that way because you are that way. Because God is that way. And we love God, so we are that way. Then you're right, that does help you.
Exactly.
But if you're just doing that so that you get an opportunity with them, well, if you're not going to get an opportunity anymore, you're not like God.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense. We are that way because God is that way, and that's Him, that's His Spirit.
Amen.
And that's in us, so that's how we are.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, because the majority of people, we're never going to, they're not going to respond. They're not going to respond to the love of Christ. It's the truth. But that doesn't mean, well, okay, you're not going to make it, so I'm going to quit being loving. That doesn't, that goes against the character and the nature of God. So, and of us. I mean, I think there's a number of different ways you can think about this. But for me, every single individual here has been made in the image of God. Every individual in this world. And how can you not love somebody who's been made in the image of God? It's who we are. And it gives you, and you know, I was just thinking about this. How often people, and maybe I'm, you know, it's my, maybe I'm weird or whatever, but how often do people pass by, and they don't even make eye contact, they don't smile, they don't, and you, I care about people. I love people. So you're friendly to them, and you smile with like your eyes, and you're, because it's real, right? You care about, and people notice that, don't they? Because it's not normal. Lorenzo.
I was just saying about like how, I don't know if it's a wrong or right way to view people, but everybody is really a victim, and you know, if somebody starts getting on yelling at you or something, being horrible to you, it could be really easy to kind of like maybe want to scrap back or whatever. But then when you look, step back, and you're like, wow, that person really is hurting, you know, and then you start looking around, and you're like, wow, everybody's hurting. Then it's easier to show love to them, you know, and like they need somebody there that. So that they care.
Yeah, definitely. I'm running out of time, so I've got a great illustration for your point, but I'm going to bypass it. And guys, do you, you know, sometimes it gets back to this too, what Josh was just talking about. Jesus in Luke chapter 6, he's talking about, he starts off with this concept of lend expecting nothing in return, right? So I sometimes change that from lend in my mind to just give. Like you give, because lending, we think of, you lend, you're expecting to get it back. Jesus says lend, expecting nothing in return. My mind says that's give. You give it. And then he goes on from there. This is the way we, this is who we are. We give expecting nothing in return. And then later he says, give and it shall be given to you. Is Jesus contradicting himself? No. It's exactly in line with what you're saying. When we do this for the right reasons, opportunities come. But if we're doing it for that, there's still a string, there's still some string attached. There's still some sort of, I want to get something, some return from you. And that's what you've ruined it before you ever got there because you started from the wrong spot. Stacey.
I think the way that I'm trying to understand this is the fact is getting it to the point where it's your second nature, where it's not that you have to even stop and think about it. It's getting it to the point where you just automatic. I mean, you look outside, you see that it's 20 below. You're without even secondly even thinking about it. You're going to grab your coat before you go out. And I think that's what God's wanting us to do is to be able to just get to that point where you don't even stop and hesitate for 1 second if that person is in need or that attitude that you need to have when you're faced with the trial, that it's just your second nature that you automatically handle it like Christ does. And of course, we know that that's the process of programming.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only thing I change in my mind from what you just said is I want that second nature to where it's my first nature.
Well, right.
But I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Exactly.
It's the first impulse that you do.
Yep. I agree with you. And that's, and guys, we're not gonna get there without ourselves seeing Jesus. Like, he's the example. He's the one who showed. He stretched out his arms and he did that for everybody. Even though most people reject it and say, well, most people aren't gonna, he did it. And so that's who we are. We die to ourselves and live for God. We die to sin and live for righteousness. There's another aspect of this, and it goes right along with this. In verse 25, Jesus says, he who loves his life loses it. He who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Fleshly man has a tendency to want his cake and to eat it too. That's the saying we have, right? So you want to be able to eat your cake, but you still want to have your cake there. Impossible. You can't. But people spend their lives in one form or another trying to do that. Accumulate stuff, but use their stuff. And you know, anyways, I'm not going to talk too much about that. There's a saying in the world, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Now, good intentions, when followed through on, can be fine, but I think a lot of people have good intentions. I read 1 Peter, and I get this idea, the road to heaven is paved with suffering. You start that. I mean, that's what 1 Peter is about, guys. You're gonna suffer for the sake of righteousness. And in this book of 1 Peter, I've just been reviewing it a bunch in my mind, my scripture memorization, so you guys are getting it. But Jesus, throughout this, is the example. He died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. Jesus is just, and you know what? He gave himself for the unjust. You know, since Christ suffered for you, he left an example for you to follow in those steps. We're going to get to do the same thing. As long as you're trying to, as long as you love your life and are trying to hang on to it, this is the sure way to lose. There are all sorts of things, even in the world, God allows us to see some of these things. I think about snowboarding. Caleb, go. Hey, you're a pretty good snowboarder, right? Yeah, you're pretty. How's it work if you're up there and you going to try something, and you start chickening out. You start having the second thoughts. Doesn't work very well, does it? I mean, obviously there's some learning that goes with it. But at some point, you gotta sell out. You gotta go for it. You gotta push all the fears away, and you gotta, boom, go for it. I remember my Elena girl takes a lot after her dad. I remember the Donahue's old diving board at the top. Man, he goes up there. How many times? Remember, I finally told you, okay, this is your last time. You're either going to do it or, you know, hey, that's a perfect example. You know, that's a great way to get hurt. That's a great way. You're so worried about, that's when you slip and fall off that thing. It's the way it works. And so the principle here is this. As long as you're trying to hang on to yourself and save yourself, protect yourself, make sure you don't get burned by people, make sure people don't use you, make sure... You're going to be one of those miserable people that never, everybody's always burning you. That's the way it works. Because that's what you're going to notice. I'll just, one other quick example on this. So, it's an amazing thing. They do surveys of people at marriage seminars and stuff. So, they ask people, you know, good marriage, bad marriage. So, people that have a bad marriage, like consistently, they ask, who gives most in your marriage? Bad marriages, they always say, I do. Both partners, I do. And good marriages, who gives most of your marriage? Well, my partner does. They give. That's really weird, isn't it? Like, there's a basic level of understanding that good marriages people have, they are giving, expecting nothing in return. So what they notice is what the other person gives. That's what they're noticing. They're not keeping track. Let's see. I did this, and this. So let's see if you can match that this week. Isn't that the way they're thinking? Okay, as long as you're thinking that way, you are always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be. I got ripped off. I didn't get as much back as I put in. But if you're thinking, hey, I'm going to give. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to... And because I love this... Really, if you're just thinking about loving this person, and you're going to do that, you lay down your life, and you notice all the things you get. It's a basic principle that Jesus demonstrated to perfection for us. You die to yourself. That's how you save your life. That's how you save your soul. That's how you're able to save other people's souls. There's no getting around this, guys. And there's no shortcut in it. And there's no way you can truly do this, I'll just say consistently, over the long haul. Let's put it that way. Without this. You just think of very basic Christianity. Is there anybody who's going to make it to heaven without going to the cross? Now, Jesus did it for us. He did. I mean, don't misunderstand me. We're not trying to pay a price for our sin. But Jesus says, anybody going to be my disciple, what's he going to have to do? Pick up his cross and follow me. It's only when you die to yourself. And so Jesus even says, hey, if anyone serves me, somebody's version slightly different than mine, if anybody serves me, he must follow me. Guys, you can't say you serve Jesus without following through on this. And some people get, oh, I have to go to the cross. That's the wrong way. I mean, Jesus does ask, what shall I say? Father, save me. I mean, there's some tough things about it, and I'm not discounting that. But the love that Jesus had, he understood. This is the way this works. This grain of wheat has to fall into the earth and die. Friend, this is what our life is as Christians. And when we do it, can you just think about it in your own life as Christians? Maybe you haven't been doing this perfectly. Okay, say that. I haven't yet resisted the point of shedding blood in my striving against sin. But to the extent that you do this in your life, can you honestly admit, when you do this, this is where you're fulfilled. This is where you're actually alive. It's a little hard to explain. But you, as Christians, we do experience it. To the extent that you do it, maybe there's times you do it really well, and you know, like, when you do this, you're alive. Jesus' words are true. I mean, they're true. And He showed us they're true. And He's been exalted to glory. He's been greatly rewarded. Oh, and there's probably one other thing I should throw in. We're done. But, guys, we got to choose heaven over earth. I got to sneak out for a little walk today. Man, it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It was right when the snow would start to come. And I, beautiful. Guys, this is what earth looks like. What's heaven going to be? But as soon as I want to try to hang on to this, hang on to this day, hang on to this moment, hang on to, I'm actually trading away the eternal. I mean, there's nothing wrong with enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. Okay, Christ does. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and He gives us things. But the song, one of the hymns tonight, if the whole realm of nature were the whole realm of nature mine, that would be a present far too small. True? What's love demand? Something about my soul, my life, my all. I don't know if I got the exact right, but it's something along those lines, right? My life, my all. Guys, that's Christianity. And it's fun. It is the most enjoyable. It's the most abundant life there is. When you die to yourself, Christ lives in you. It's a beautiful thing. So, let's think about, I always want us to think, hey, how can I be a doer of the word this week? Let's just start really simple. In your life, think about one way you can die to yourself this week. And do it. Die to yourself for somebody else. Not because of something you get, like, all of a sudden, no stipulations, no strings attached. Do it. To be like Christ. Does this make, I know I did most of the talking tonight. Does this make sense? Jesus is a perfect example of it. Right? Mom and Dad back there, you guys learning that, aren't you? There's a lot of dying to self. In the middle of the night stuff. But there's great joy too, isn't there? It's just the way it works. So, all right. Luke, would you close with a word of prayer, buddy? Thank you.
All right, dear God, thank you for this great day, Lord, and thank you that we get to gather with your church tonight, and that we get to learn more about you, and remember to, whatever we do, to be zealous for you, and to get the gospel out there, and to build one another up, and set a tear down, and do everything we do for you, Lord. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.